the Assyrian army, this club in the hands of God, the Assyrian army's advance had been unstoppable. In just weeks, the king, Tiglath-Pileser, he had taken Syria in the north, and then Ephraim, and then Lebanon. They crossed into the north of Israel to Galilee. They took Samaria. They set up on the Mount of Olives. In just weeks, short days, really, bulwarks and fortresses that had stood for generations fell, seemingly powerless, faster than anyone had thought possible. The Assyrian army, Tiglath-Pileser, he stood outside the walls of Jerusalem. And on top of the walls of Jerusalem stood Isaiah, the prophet. Tiglath-Pileser with an army at his back, Isaiah with a city of frightened people at his back. The vulnerable children, women, those too young to fight, and those who they once had been young could fight no longer. Tiglath-Pileser with an army, Isaiah with a city of frightened people, who would win? It was not in doubt, not for one second. Who would win was not in doubt, but the story of why this was happening, that's different. The king of Assyria had one story, and Isaiah another story. What had brought the people of God to such a disastrous moment of vulnerability and peril? Tiglath-Pileser had one story, Isaiah had another. For the king of Assyria, the story was simple, and it was a story he loved to tell. To Tiglath-Pileser, what had happened is that he had won because he is so great. He's so favored by his God. The Assyrian king worshipped might personified, named Marduk. Marduk was a warrior god. Marduk was the god of only one nation, Syria. And Marduk exalted the ruthless. Marduk loved this one nation only, and Marduk loved to watch that nation expand its territory. Marduk was triumphant in war over this small people with their strange god. Marduk led conquering armies that enslaved whole populations. The people of Israel worshipped a god who exalted the slave? What kind of god is that? Marduk made people glory in their homeland. The people of Israel worshipped a god who embraced the foreigner and the homeless wanderer. What kind of god is that? To Tiglath-Pileser, the answer is pretty easy. It's a god that is pretty easily beaten, as was exactly what happened. Marduk had easily defeated this god of weakness and the people who worshipped this god. That was the story that the king of Assyria told, and he loved to tell the story of how he could do whatever he wanted, and if somebody wanted to stop him, they could go ahead and try. For Isaiah, though, standing on the walls of Jerusalem with a city of frightened people behind him, the story was not so simple, and it was not a story he liked to tell. This story had the bitterness of truth, the way that medicine can be bitter. God had seemed to abandon the people, leaving them to face the mercies of this merciless king. Why hadn't God prevented this? Why had God not just allowed the nation to keep on going as it had been, secure? Isaiah knew why, because he was a prophet, the poor man. He saw how the poor and downtrodden of the country, how they had been growing poorer year after year after year. He saw that the widow and the orphan and the foreigners among the people had been left to fight over scraps, if that. Meanwhile, the worship of God, this had been claimed as the sole province of the powerful and the privileged. Those who were at the center of power, they would burn whole cattle on the altar in Jerusalem so that the poor of the city, they would smell the bounty that was not for them, it was for God. God saw all of this, And the words of God rang in the prophet's ears, I have had enough. I do not delight in the blood of bulls. Who asked for this from your hand? Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Why had God not prevented the army of Assyria from coming to the very gates of the city of God? Why had God not allowed the nation to keep on going as it had been, secure? Because God does not allow any nation to long flourish that oppresses the weak. God will not allow any nation to long sustain that harms children and widows and the foreigners and the aged poor. God will not let any nation like that long flourish, not even if they are the chosen of God, especially not if they are the chosen of God. For Isaiah, the nation had failed to live up to its highest calling. And so the answer to their problems was simple. Live up to their highest calling. So he called upon the people to live up to that calling, and at least a subset among the people did. A remnant would return to the ways of God. A remnant, that is just a portion of the people. A remnant would return to faithfully following the ways of God. They would care for the weak and welcome the stranger and raise their children to love the heart of the law, which is to love your neighbor as yourself, that faithful remnant. For them, they would someday see the nation restored, not to what it had been, but to a dream that it had never yet fully realized. The prophet Isaiah has a son, and he names his son Shear Jashub, which means a remnant shall return. It's a beautiful name, Shear Jashub. It seems an odd way to respond with an army encamped outside the very walls. The plan is to care for the vulnerable, to give babies wonderful names. It's an odd sort of a plan. Yet this is exactly what the remnant did in the face of the army of Tiglath-Pileser. They would live out the ways of God as a faithful remnant, having trusted in the might of weapons and seen that gain nothing, they would trust in God. The prophet Isaiah is teaching about the spiritual laws that undergird history. Every petty tyrant looks at their own brief cavorting across history and thinks they've got it figured out at last. Every petty tyrant thinks that since they have been victorious once, they will be forever enthroned. But where is the empire of Tiglath-Pileser? Where is it? Do not fear, princes, for on the very day they die, their plans turn to nothing. The loving God, the living God, stands behind history's grand movements. Every wicked empire has thought itself immortal, and every wicked empire has fallen. You would think that would-be emperors would have learned to give up that effort. Here's another thing that Isaiah teaches. There is no Marduk. There is no Marduk. There is no God of mightiness. There is no such God. There is no right of the strong to do what they will. That doesn't exist. That's an idol. It's a creation that people have made to justify their own actions. There is only God, the Lord of heaven and earth, who is the God of the lost and the least and the lonely. This strange God is the only God. And God cannot stand the worship of an idol. I implore you, kindred, to have faith in this one God, because God cannot stand the worship of an idol. An idol like the greatness of one nation or the right of the strong to do whatever they want. Those are idols. And if I build my life around them, if I worship these things, it doesn't degrade God. It degrades me. It harms my neighbor. God cannot stand the worship of an idol. God does not allow any nation to long flourish that oppresses the weak. God will not allow any nation to long sustain that harms children and the foreigners and the aged poor. God will not let any nation like that flourish, not even if they are chosen of God, especially not if they are chosen of God. God has traced the shape of history, and it is littered with would-be empires. And would-be empires will continue to fall, brought down by arrogance, until people learn to give up the desire to lord over others. There are acts that I implore you to emulate, Old South Church. These are acts from among you, by the way. These are the acts of the faithful remnant. There are many who are doing much of the acts of faith today. Members of this church are standing in the way, standing in the path of medical research being slashed, standing in the way of that, holding in their hands and in their email signatures their oath of office, being true to their word, though others might glory in lies, they're being true to their word. Members of this church are laying plans for how to care for the children of those who are deported. Families ripped away from families for the sake of a piece of paper. Members of this church are being responsible in a heartbreaking task, being responsible, though others might seem to revel in chaos. We are naming our children beautiful names. Just as Isaiah named his son, a remnant shall return, we are naming our children and pouring our hopes out upon them like water. Annabelle Delight, Amaya Laurel, Peter James, Josephine Marie, Matthew Joseph. Beautiful names for beautiful lives to be lived. These are the acts I implore you to keep on doing. I implore you to keep on having faith in the one God. Because if there is a contest, as there is, a contest between the forces of wicked empire holding weapons and violence and lies, and on the other side opposing them, the powers of God, though the ways of God are lived out only by a faithful remnant, though their hands lift up not weapons but prayers. Wickedness and cruelty at the gates, the ways of God with a frightened city behind, when these things are opposed, who will win? It is never in doubt. Not for one second. It is never in doubt. Thanks be to God.